Specifically so fondling the butthole.
Oh, I'm so glad that's in there. Because you know that's the intro.
I'm not really a butthole person, but, I mean, when in Rome.
When in Rome, touch a butthole. Come on in.
Everyone has been destroyed because of this freak. I won't allow it! These babies just saved this lame death party!
What's going on? You are listening to Twig, the flagship of stupidity. I am one of your many hosts. As you can guess, I am Mike the Birdman Dub, but I'm not alone. As I trek through the world of geek, dork, dweeb, and doofus, I'm joined on my left by...
the doofus, Mr. Tristopher.
And the geek...
Alex?
That's right. You're a geek this week.
Am I King Geek?
I know. You are the King Geek. And of course, on this episode of Twig... we are not going to talk about the elephant in the room. That will happen next week. So just got to say this right off the top of the show. There will be no talk of Avengers Infinity War in this episode. That will be next week's special news segment where we dedicate a full 20 or so minutes to talking about the Marvel Cinematic Universe and how we feel about the latest effort from Marvel Studios. So now that I've gotten that elephant out of the room, we're just going to kind of talk about our week, how things are going here on Twig. Things are proceeding swimmingly, so I just want to thank everyone who stuck with the show and during our kind of reboot and rebrand. Last week was just me and Tristan, though Alex did join us remotely with a couple of different reviews.
I did. I have been, in the last few weeks, trapped due to every weekend having freezing rain that to the point where we had like 6 inches of ice.
Or death.
Or I was dying out of my ass because I was pooping my brains out.
Well, yeah, like you had messaged me and Blair, and you were saying, I'm so dehydrated, I may need to go to the hospital. We were legitimately worried about you.
I called my brother and I said, I'm dying? Question mark. And he came by with liquids for me. And basically I got hit. I thought it was some food I ate, but due to the stomach surgery I've had, I don't necessarily feel nauseous very often. So I can't tell if it's something that I did to myself or I'm sick. And what ended up happening was I got that really nasty gastro bug that was going around this area. And because of the amount of water I can intake versus what was coming out, I was taking in like a third of what was coming out of me for 2 days.
Oh, man.
So it was basically nasty soup death.
Yeah, that's terrible. Because I remember I was reading an article. I want to say it was in the Toronto Star. They said there was like an outbreak of norovirus, which is something you do not want to fuck with.
And I was lucky that I am somebody who can take in a fair amount of water even now, because otherwise I would have had to have gone on an IV, which apparently a lot of people did have to do.
Yeah, that's terrible. I myself, this past week, have been playing a lot of video games, actually. I've been playing the new game from Harebrained Schemes, that's BattleTech, which is something I've been looking forward to since I learned about it at the beginning of this year. It's a fantastic game. There will be a full review about that next week here on the show, so I'm now committing myself. I've also been playing the new Sony PlayStation game, God of War, or God of Dad, which is all the memes are coming out of it. My favorite one, it's got Kratos folding his arms like he's starting to pray, and he's like, boy. And he just points his arms forward, or it's Kratos as Bobby Hill. It's ridiculous.
And just... to back up on that, it's basically become Reviewageddon here.
Yeah.
We have got a lot coming.
Oh my God. I can't remember being this busy in so long.
Because I've got 4 or 5 things on the go that way. Mike has a couple. Mr. Christopher's got a few on the go. It's going to be an interesting. We're going to pump them out as fast as we can too.
Yeah, we actually have a new Turd or Treasure coming up in like a week or so.
Yeah.
I got a couple movies I'm working on. I'm going to have a review of Paddington 2 for next week. And I know you might be thinking, why is Dodd covering Paddington?
Imaginary bear?
Fictional bear.
Fictional bear.
Last week, the argument was literally me and Blair shouting across the apartment, fictional bear. But no, it's a really cute kids movie. And I actually had a lot of fun with it. And I think it's, well, you'll hear my review next week, but I had a lot of fun with it, all things considered. I'm also working on another movie called 12 Strong, which was something about the Afghanistan conflict in the United States and how they were doing something with horse. I don't know. It was advertised very heavily at the beginning of the year.
I thought it was the Ron Jeremy movie, 12 Strong.
Oh, boy.
That's 12 hard.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, my God.
12 long.
12 Angry Men.
Oh, boy.
That's a different movie.
Yes.
Anyway.
Speaking of other stuff that hopefully will get me out of this friggin' hole I'm in, what's been going on with your YouTube this past week, Tristan?
I'm still trying to find my stride. It's coming along. I'm putting out some decent stuff, trying to build my skill set, but I haven't really hit that eureka moment yet.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm trying to put out the weekly videos for the patch updates for Sea of Thieves. The new content is coming soon, coming in May. But until then, I'm trying to find exactly what kind of message I want to spread. And so far, I'm kind of leading towards helping people have more fun gaming instead of focusing on being the best or 100% or min-maxing everything and always trying to be number one at everything. Just try to enjoy the journey, because that's what a lot of games need to be now. Everyone's too concerned about the end result of the things they're playing, and they're not enjoying the experience getting them.
Yeah, for one thing, I'm really happy you're not going the review route where everyone is angry as hell and just, I hate this because of fuck, shit, god,
yeah,
vagina,
that,
whatever.
And honestly, that's very played. That's very 2006 at
I'm
this point.
So done with the angry
and then,
reviewer.
And then what's the, and then what's, I guess you could also, I don't know, wear like a low-cut top and lean forward a lot. Or wait, that's another
yeah,
thing.
Yeah, I do have some moobs going on, so I could use that. But no, there's a lot of reviewers out there. There's a lot of gamers out there. They just do Let's Players or they do reviews, and their focus is, well, why is everything so terrible in gaming? This game sucks, and they hype this game, and it's terrible.
It's for the six-year-olds, really. It's like, oh, he said a swear word about something.
Yeah, but there's one thing to be angry with. They're shitting on everything, and I don't really want to do that with mine. I want to help people understand what parts of the game can they enjoy. If they bought No Man's Sky 2 years ago, yeah, the game overall was hated by pretty much everybody because it wasn't working properly.
It's gotten better
but
now, though.
If you bought it back then, you might want to figure out how can you still have fun with this? How can you get your money's worth? And that's what I want to help people
do. Yeah, exactly.
And honestly, people now want to just chill. They want to put something on and have you sort of just be a part of that. You're just sitting in with them. They don't need the gimmicks, the crazy skits, and the over-the-top bad acting that you see in all these review sites, like Mike was saying. It's just,
exactly,
they want to connect with you as a person. So.
Yeah, I mean, even I myself back in the day was guilty of being an angry reviewer, but at least I was going to tell you why. And though I, you know, as time went on, I did find things that were more exciting to look at and something you could look forward to. Speaking of things you can look forward to, in this episode of the show, we're going to talk about some controversy going on with The Simpsons, of all things. Also, for my weird news segment this week, you would be surprised what you can get from the Freedom of Information Act.
Oh.
What we got coming up from you, Alex?
We've got electric city buses and Tim Hortons robberies / getaways.
The most Canadian thing you could possibly imagine.
I don't know. There was that maple syrup reserve break-in a couple years ago. That was pretty Canadian.
But people don't realize how much that's worth. It's ridiculous.
It was just the headlines practically
brown
wrote
gold,
themselves
son.
On that one.
Brown gold.
Brown gold. That doesn't make me think of maple syrup.
Oh boy.
As for me, I've got some good news for the graphics card market. Anyone looking to get a new graphics card might have their hopes renewed and they might rejoice in the near future. Also, I learned what Uranus smells like.
On that note, we're going to have some reviews coming up from Alex this week. We're going to be looking at Extinction on the PC. And, of course, we have Satan's Pantry, where we march down the Devil's Grocery Aisle. And I will have something that actually got sent in by a fan of Rick and Morty and what we've affectionately called Meme Sauce. We'll be back right here on Twig, the flagship of stupidity. Ayla, will you please stop kissing me? That's my cat. We'll be back right after this. And, of course, you continue to nuzzle, you dumb, stupid animal. I love you.
Okay, so today I've got Extinction, brought to you by publisher Modus Games, developed by Iron Sky. It is a hybrid of, in my mind, the God of War style gameplay of the giant scaling of monsters and just the hack and slash gameplay, as well as, I guess, a Shadow of the Colossus, blended in with the main point of the game is you're sort of saving different townsfolk by going near them, recovering them, fighting enemies, and taking back points on them, on the levels itself. I found the graphics to be quite good for the title. It has a good art style in that it's not overly crazily detailed, so there's not really a slowdown when you're playing the games. And I'm playing on a Steam platform on a PC with a decent video card and decent setup, and I was able to play it. I tried it multiple settings, so I was able to play Ultra at 720p. I was able to play at high settings on 1080, and I do have a 4K ultra wide resolution monitor. And at that, it was starting to struggle when I was putting it at max, but that was my system, not because the engine or anything was bottlenecked. It has good sound design, nothing over the top, nothing too out of place with it. The controls were tight when I used the keyboard, and then I also used an Xbox One controller plugged into the PC just to make sure that everything worked fine using either type, like mouse and keyboard, or that. And it played perfectly fine that way. Very customizable, so if you want to change certain settings in there, you can do that. And it is very responsive, and it doesn't kick you out of the game to change a visual setting at all. It just sort of resets it right on the fly. The story was pretty straightforward and good. Your standard saving everybody from hordes of monsters and giant things. And that is all it needs to be. It needs to be a fun game where you can just go in and play and hack and slash. And I had a great time. It's something to kill some time with. And it's available right now on PC, also on Xbox One, and on PS4. And I believe the PS4 and Xbox One titles are published by Maximum Games, while the PC is published by the Modus Games there. So I'd say give it a shot. It's definitely going to be a fun ride. Back to you guys.
News on the mark!
Thank you for that review, Alex. Once again, you can find Extinction available on the PC. All right, guys, so as we most often do, we're going to talk about the news that happened around the world this week in the world of pop culture and what matters to you, our audience, the geek army, the Twigites, if you will. Twigs, if you will. So I am Groot. Anyway, so...
I'm sorry, sir, but did you just have a stroke?
I think I did.
Damage.
Groot.
Groot, I am Groot. So evidently, if you were watching The Simpsons a couple of weeks ago, there was a controversy surrounding the Simpsons character of Apu. And Simpsons actor Hank Azaria has said he's willing to step aside from the controversial Simpsons Apu role. So recently he was on The Late Show with Stephen Colbert this past Tuesday night. And he says to Stephen, "It has come to my attention more and more, especially over the last couple of years, that people in the South Asian community in this country have been fairly upset by the voice and characterization of Apu." Hank Azaria had said. He continued, "It has sparked a lot of conversation about what should be done with this character going forward, and which is not easy to answer." Simpsons fans got kind of pissed off after an April 8th episode entitled "No Good Read Goes Unpunished," which saw Marge and Lisa indirectly discussing the portrayal of Apu. The mother and daughter talk about a new edited version of a book called The Princess in the Garden and how it had been altered to be acceptable and inoffensive in 2018. Lisa had said, "Something that started decades ago and was applauded and inoffensive is now politically incorrect. What can you do?" Then the camera pans over to Apu with the words, "Don't have a cow, man," which was Bart's ubiquitous catchphrase way back in the day. And fans have been pissed off with how the show was dealing with this particular characterization. Mm. Now, someone made a really good argument for this. Now, Apu is seen as the typical convenience store owner who's of South Asian descent, whatever, right? We can all agree to this.
Yeah, the whole speech.
But a fan had made a really good point. Okay, let's say Apu, he owns the Quickie Mart. This is established fact. What if he owned a bunch of them and could now rival Burns in terms of money? Well, you want that character to advance? Make him rich and like,
no, but
okay.
But here's the thing. People realize, Apu is rich.
Because he owns a Quickie Mart.
No. He drives like a Ferrari. In the show, he drives a sports car, an expensive sports car. He supports his like 8 kids. No problem. Like,
is he still married to Manjula in the show? I think so.
I think they divorced.
But here's the thing. He's one of the few people that owns a business, is never late for a bill. Like, he seems stressed out, and he gets stressed out, but the dude is loaded. Think about this. He was part of the B-Sharps.
Yeah.
Think about the royalties that he's getting from, like, they showed there was a conspiracy theory about how everybody in the show, like that was on the B-Sharps, actually is independently wealthy, and they just don't
Except
behave
Homer.
It. No, even Homer. How do you think he funds all these vacations randomly to these places on a simple budget?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, that. All
so
right,
he's bad right. with his money. Like, if Homer stopped drinking, he'd stop spending $700 a week on booze.
Yeah.
Right? So the fan theory was that the B-Sharps are still getting royalties from the 70s or 80s, or whatever it was when they ran them. Because look, Skinner lives in the richest neighborhood in town.
Yeah.
On a principal salary.
Yeah, and the U.S. school system famously doesn't pay their very well.
Barney has had a bar tab that would be like in the hundreds of thousands of dollars. So how do you think he pays for that?
Now, didn't Barney, I haven't watched Simpsons in a couple of years, didn't he like clean up or something like that?
He was a pilot.
Yeah.
Yeah, he became a sober person. Full time, I believe he's all just coffee now. There's no more beer. But again, it's been a long time since I've really watched The Simpsons full time. So there
which
could
is
have
kind
been
of depressing.
Of...
Yeah, I still watch it. It's still on, and they just this past week, no, I think it's one or two more episodes, and they'll pass Gunsmoke as the most amount of scripted drama, what? Scripted show in history.
Even because passing Doctor Who.
There are oh yeah, like oh, they're wow. at 650 yeah. some odd episodes.
Oh wow.
So. They made sort of a point. That was that episode, I believe, is where they talked about that. There was a little joke about how long. There was a meta joke. So the show has changed and evolved. But the issue I take with this is you're going to get to a point where, for the sake of being progressive and not wanting to offend anybody, your shows are going to have no content. Period.
Well, somebody else had made a meme about this, too. Like, what about the chef... Luigi, what about Cletus? What about there's
a
couple other stereotypes.
The whole point is it's a caricature.
Exactly. That's what Simpsons characters are. They're caricatures. And you can talk about philanderization as well, where those character traits become so exaggerated that they just become only those characterizations and not any sort of actual meaningful character. But at the same time, that's just the way The Simpsons works. It started off fairly mild and everyone had their quirks, but now their characters have developed into those maybe stereotypical elements, but that's how they write now.
Mm-hmm.
They need those characters to have those because those characters just represent those different things and that's how they interact.
Mm-hmm.
So the issue I take with this is pick your battles. People like to complain because it's another thing that can make the news. It can make an article. It can get people riled up. But pick your battles. A cartoon show that is harmless, it really is not where you should be fighting. Especially something that's been on this long. That nothing about this portrayal is going to make you... It's not going to change somebody's mind and sway them to hate a certain group.
No.
Because Apu says, thank you, come again. Like, that's the worst thing in the world right now.
Yeah.
Sorry, I'm sorry, grow up.
It's a cartoon.
Get some thicker skin because life's harder than that.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, the energy they're spending on being upset about The Simpsons could be better spent on bettering.
Yeah, go fight some other social issues.
If you don't like it, you know what? Go to writing school, go to animation school, make your own show.
Yeah, I mean, there's a thousand ways you can contribute or
exactly.
add to the conversation.
Exactly. And that's not me. I'm not trying to talk down to people. I'm just saying, move on. Move on to something that's more relevant.
Yeah.
Speaking of moving on, what do you got, Tristan?
Well, it's nothing to do with The Simpsons, unfortunately, as much as I love to talk about them. But graphics cards have rather infamously been difficult to purchase of late. Over the last couple of years, the cryptocurrency trend, for lack of a better term, has skyrocketed their price into completely unaffordable ranges. But that looks like it may be coming to at least a bit of a reprieve. They're predicting between Gigabyte, MSI, and TUL, they're expecting to see a 40% drop in their shipments in April, which will be reflected by a significant drop in the overall pricing of graphics cards. This could be attributed to a surge of ASICs to be coming later in this year. If you're like me and didn't know what an ASIC was before today, it's an application-specific integrated circuit. Basically, it's a computer built for one very specific purpose, in this case, cryptocurrency mining. So because there is more technology that's more efficient than using graphics cards, so all of a sudden the surge of graphics cards being produced, shipped, and used is dropping off. But the production was still there, so now there's a surplus of graphics cards sitting in these warehouses, so the price may drop in the next little while.
So let me ask you this, like, to the computer guys in the room. Okay.
Yeah.
Why would you need a graphics card to mine cryptocurrency? Because isn't there onboard video anyway?
Onboard video uses the CPU and takes away from the main components, the main processes of the computer.
Oh.
So it would be like trying
inefficient.
It's like trying to play back in the day Crysis on an integrated video versus
a dedicated
video card. So this is a card that is made to do specific computations, and these cryptocurrency and these algorithms that people found could be better processed using that video card anyway. That the there's instruction sets that are made for CPU that tell it how to read, write, and do basic math. There are different ones specific to geometry and certain things that are included on a video card. So whereas the CPU on the computer has to find a way to interpret that and decode it, this is purpose-built to be able to do it. So it's purpose-built to do genome mapping and certain things because it's visualization. Now, a good example of this would be, for the longest time, if you wanted to do video editing, you had to have a decent video card because it used, hogged up a lot of memory, and it was made to do video transformations and encoding and decoding. Well, Intel, about 5 years ago or so, when they brought out the, I think it was the Sandy Bridge version of the iSeries CPUs, they included what they called Intel QuickSync, which is an actual core. Like, you have a quad-core CPU. There's actually another core that was purpose-built for video decoding and encoding, and now it's in every single Intel chip moving forward. And what that does is you can actually do video encoding without a video card.
Oh.
To the point where you might have got one or two frames per second encoding a 4K video. Now, with the CPU, and that was at maximizing, it's like 100% utilization. Now, you can encode at, let's say, 25 frames a second, which still, it's basically the speed of a movie.
Yeah, usable,
it's
but
not. One-to-one, but that'll only take up 80% of your CPU usage. So it's highly, we're talking like 500 times the efficiency, and that changed the way a lot of people did things. Now you could buy a computer that could do video editing for less than $600 and not have to even buy a video card to do it. Unless you're doing a lot of, let's say, animation rendering, but let's say basic video editing.
Yeah.
So that's one thing that took away the need for the video card. And then what happened was people started using the video cards for the crypto stuff instead, and for blockchain, all these things that...
See, that's what I always wondered. Like, why are they using video cards?
Because they have some built-in instructions built into the hardware that make it quicker than using a CPU.
It's faster, it's more efficient, therefore runs cooler, so you don't need as much power. You're not using as much power, so it's cheaper to do.
So can I make a broad generalization about this?
Sure.
People are fucking dorks.
Well, what was happening was people... It wasn't people buying these video cards, it was... Like
companies or something?
It'll be like a Russian firm
or
somebody
specifically
would go,
China.
Yeah, China. They would go, okay, you know what's going to happen now? There's going to be a shortage because we're going to buy it. But also, we're going to buy 1,000 cards at once and just set up factories where there's not anybody working. They're just computers plugged in doing this one thing.
So just server farms.
So that we can hog the Bitcoin.
Yeah, they were building these compact computers that really don't have anything in them but the very basic components and these honking graphics cards
to
maximize efficiency.
$300 worth of hardware and then a $1,200 CPU or GPU.
And this was to mine cryptocurrency.
Because the way it's set up is the more work that your computer contributes, the more of a Bitcoin or whatever cryptocurrency you get as a reward for helping the community do it. So whereas, let's say, a Bitcoin, it would take your home computer a year to process a Bitcoin. That could be like $1,200 or $1,500.
Or 10,000 as it is now.
Yeah, or 10,000. And they could do that in their server farm in a day.
Wow.
So they could just literally rake in the money doing that. and sort of, the closest I could say to doing that was the PS3 had the install Linux support.
I remember that. And the U.S. military was doing it.
And U.S. military and scientific people were doing it. They were using it for SETI at home to search for extraterrestrial life. Sony pulled the plug because they didn't want their system to be used for that. They wanted it to be used. They said it was to circumvent some piracy, but that ultimately,
whatever.
It was to so that they could control what their system goes to, because people were having trouble buying the system in stores because these universities and research firms were buying 500 at a time.
Jesus.
So the consumers were getting pissed they couldn't buy the hardware. And the people that bought these hardwares, they weren't buying games, which is where they make their money in the long run anyway.
Right, yeah.
Some consoles are sold at a loss.
Yeah, so they were losing money because consumers weren't buying games and accessories for it.
Weird.
So that's the closest. That's actually the... And that was about 7-8 years ago that happened.
Oh, wow. Well, you learn something new every day. Huh. Speaking of learning something new, what do you got?
I've got a long and drawn-out article that I can sum up in basic one thing, is that China is switching to electric buses for commutes within towns.
That makes sense.
So it's something that hadn't really been feasible until recently because of the amount of battery size you needed and the fuel efficiency of that carry. Because a bus is about... you're talking about 5-10,000 pound vehicle that has to be able to hold an additional 5-10,000 pounds. That's a heavy thing. Traditionally you use diesel or some sort of biofuel diesel combo or natural gas, and it's very expensive to switch to an electric system. But they're at a point now where you can actually get a city bus that can run its full 8 hours on
a single charge.
Oh
wow. That's so efficient.
But it does mean you have to map things out. You can't have a bus route that's an hour long. So yeah. it means you'd have to order more buses, but in the long run, basically this is something that people are looking to China for the next 10-15 years of what public transit will look like because of this, because they're really trying to clean up the smog and everything they have there. Could you imagine the amount of smog that a city bus makes? Well, what does this have an application for? Well, if they switch buses to that, eventually you're going to get electric transport trucks.
Exactly. Once the technology keeps going, now it's a practical use in cities.
And it also cuts down on noise pollution, people having hearing problems in inner cities, because they have to have a noisemaker. They have to have a speaker built in, like some Teslas do, to make engine noises so people can hear it when they come by.
Yeah.
But it doesn't produce the low level decibel rumble that makes you have hearing loss.
That
real rumble and that noise, the general noise pollution. So you're going to see in the next, like, say, 15-20 years, if this catches on, the cities are going to sound much more like the countryside in small towns. So you could have...
That's crazy to
think about.
You could
have 500 cars on the road that only sound the equivalent of 10 cars.
Yeah, between buses and just electric cars, as popular as they are now.
And just cleaner air in general. Even though if the ozone layer is all messed up and everything, you're still going to have cleaner air in your town.
Now, who's building these buses? Is it Tesla?
No, it's in China. It's a few different companies, but it's specifically stuff sponsored by the government right now.
That's cool.
But it is the kind of thing that if it's perfected there... we could start seeing that sort of bleed over here.
Yeah.
So if we're in Kitchener, where I'm living, as long as Bombardier finally delivers all the cars by December, which is like the fourth time they've pushed it back, we're going to have a streetcar system that's fully electric. I could see them switching from the diesel and biofuel on the combos that they have for the buses over to an electric system, because they want to shorten the bus routes by making you take transit. Taking the train. So if they shorten it so that the buses rides are only 10 to 15 minutes between stops or between trains, you could switch to, instead of having 800 diesel fuel buses, you could switch down to maybe having 400 short run electric fuel buses in town. And I think that's kind of a neat thing to do.
I really do. I mean, especially now with climate change and environmental concerns becoming a real issue these days, I think that's cool. And the fact that China's leading the way,
and like they do plug in to charge, but also they do have solar. So they can get a little further if it's a sunny day out without having to charge. So
I would imagine, as being a bus with the stop and go constantly, they'd have those built-in brake systems to help recharge the batteries.
Yeah, and that
was
one thing the article was talking about, was that the bus drivers have to learn how to drive differently. Like they're not making them automated because they don't want that yet. That's a whole other
There's a lot of cans of worms on that.
But they have to learn how to drive because they stop on a dime, and they accelerate like a Tesla, like immediately. So a bus that normally you'd have a lot of weight behind it and you'd feel it slowly start up, you are going, and
just
that can
zipping.
be scary if you accelerate too fast. So
yeah,
they've actually had to put in automated things that you can't just gun it.
Limiters.
If you gun it, it slowly ramps you up on purpose.
Okay, yeah. Well, that makes a lot of sense.
From every bus that I've ever traveled on, I'll hop on the bus, and the bus has already started moving before I've taken my seat.
Yeah.
If you're just suddenly going, I'm at the back on the floor.
Exactly. So yeah. They've had this sort of built in. So it's something to see that it's interesting that China's trying it, but they are so congested with the pollution now as is.
That's pretty cool. I'm really glad to hear that. So anyway, guys, that's what we have in the news this week. As we got coming up in the show, we have more weird news and things that happened around the world that may just plain weird you the hell out. We'll be back right here on Twig, the flagship of stupidity, as I'm joined by my grateful merry band of morons. We'll be back, guys, right after this.
What makes you qualified to be a reporter?
I'm willing to violate anyone's privacy for my personal gain and then claim with a straight face that the public has a right to know.
By the hand of Zeus, what manner of deviltry is this?
I love fake alien poop day.
And of course, we dig into the weird, the strange, the frankly friggin' bizarre. I'm going to start things off. So, as you guys know, you can acquire information from the government through the Freedom of Information Act. If you want to find out something, you can typically file a request. 9 times out of 10, you'll get it. There may be some sections redacted. But a government guy this past week got a little bit more than he could bite off. So this organization called Muckrock, a news organization that specializes in filing Freedom of Information Act, sent some to some state and federal government bodies and received some really weird documents about, of all things, mind control by accident. So journalist Curtis Waltman had written to the Washington State Fusion Center, a joint operation between Washington State law enforcement and the federal government, to request information about Antifa and white supremacist groups, right? Weird. So he got some responses to some of the questions that he asked, which is great, but he also got a file entitled EM Effects on the Human Body.zip. Inside this were psychoelectric weapon effects. So, for example, some of the weapon designs that were sent in was remote mind control, remote brain mapping. Now, this was written in 1974. But some
so
of these
is this like that? What was the LSD thing that they did? The something back in the 50s or 60s?
Well, it's weird. They want weapons that can produce different effects, such as, I'm going to read you a couple of the really interesting ones: forced memory blanking and induced erroneous actions, sudden violent eye twitching inside the eyelids.
So induced erroneous actions, would that be like we hit you with this psychoactive beam and now your arms curl up and your legs can't move?
Yep. Reading and broadcasting thoughts. Controlled dreams. Artificial tinnitus, which is that high-pitched sound you hear in
tinnitus.
Your ear. That,
oh, God.
That
tinnitus.
Sound.
I have tinnitus.
They also can give you wild and erratic racing heart without cause.
I thought it said wild and erratic erections.
Buddy, actually, there is already. Something on that.
I got oh that God. Already. Don't worry. It's working.
This is one thing you'll love. Special attention to the genital area, itching, forced orgasm, or intense pain.
Forced orgasm? It would be what is it, like the orgasmorator from
basically, from yeah, it would be the orgasmo gun. But he got this as an accident of all things. Now, is this thing full of shit? Who knows? But evidently, some of the images appear to be from an article that was published in a 1992 lawsuit that was somebody filed against the NSA, which had claimed that the NSA had the ability to assassinate U.S. citizens covertly or run covert psychological control operations to cause subjects to be diagnosed with ill mental health. Now this magazine that had filed this, the article where this was originally found, is an article that focuses on the unexplained and conspiracy theories, alternative medicine, and the like. So you can see the source being a little bit questionable.
But isn't this proven that the acid LSD wasn't it developed?
Absolutely, yes.
As a way of mind control.
Yeah, the federal government has experimented with mind control in a variety of different methods way back in the
70s. And that was one that
60s.
They openly said LSD was created as a way to see if they could can control soldiers.
It's fairly well known that there were studies done into mind control and psychic phenomena just to see if they were real. But pretty much all the results that we've been given to the public were
inconclusive.
It's not.
And I know it wasn't World War II. I think it was Korea where they gave hash. Vietnam was where they sort of let things up. Vietnam was a little after, but I thought it was Korea where they were giving hash specifically to the soldiers to keep them going. As a way of motivation, that and speed and a few other drugs. It was anything to keep you going.
It was like methamphetamines, like speed, stuff like that. Stuff that would keep you motoring, so to speak. But yeah, I mean, this isn't the first time I've heard about government mind control weaponry. There's stuff with like DARPA, which is the Defense Programs Advanced Research or something. I can't remember what.
Don't forget the Ghost Protocol from StarCraft.
Yeah.
just tell me if somebody is finally making a brown noise gun.
Actually, I remember reading about something about that a couple of years ago, but I can't find the source. But I know exactly what you're talking about. See, you know what I want? Laser guns and rail guns. I want battletech weaponry already.
Rail guns exist. They just suck.
Yeah, they're just not very practical.
I may be wrong, but I know Raytheon, which has a location undisclosed somewhere in this region, for the sake of all those involved, Raytheon develops missile guidance systems for the Patriot missiles.
Oh, wow.
So they're actually made in Canada, which nobody knows. But yeah,
Patriot.
But yeah, they're made
Canada here. Proud.
Anyway, the talk was that Raytheon, I believe even publicly, said that they were working on riot control stuff, which was a sonic weapon that would essentially, it would, not the brown noise, but it was like a dog whistle for humans. So that you, instead of getting hit with like beanbags or hurting somebody, you just fall to the ground grabbing your ears just for a second, just enough so that the police can subdue you. Now, that could be turned into something that you broadcast over the radio or something. That'd be scary.
If it's cable-produced.
The speakers you're listening to the radio would have to be able to admit
that. I may be wrong about the company, but I was pretty sure it was Raytheon because it is a local company that would have made the news for that.
That's scary.
I heard of a weapon that would emit a beam in a fairly large area that basically set the nerves at the top of the skin, not on fire, but it would activate all your pain receptors.
It stimulated it, yeah.
So you would you'd be in absolute agony through your entire body, but it would be zero permanent damage.
I think I remember hearing about that too. Thanks, Art Bell, for all the wonderful, terrifying nightmares.
Yeah.
Okay.
I know they have deployed sonic weapons, though.
Yeah.
I know that it is a real thing for Riot, specifically.
Okay, so this is scary. Tell me you got something less scary, Tristan.
Well, how about that six stick from...
Oh, my God. I could... When they use that in, what was it, Kick-Ass 2, where she had the six stick, I would be abusing the hell out of that.
See, I thought
puke everywhere.
I thought that's what everybody called your wiener.
The six stick.
When it was time for a good blowy.
Every time I jab them, they just start throwing up.
The juice makes my tum-tum hurt.
Oh, my God.
Wow.
That's Alex for you, folks.
Yeah. Speaking of gross shit... Uranus smells like farts, and now we know it for sure.
Oh, how do we know this for sure? How much money did this cost us?
So the study identified how hydrogen sulfide is the primary component of Uranus's atmosphere, which they kind of suspected, but now they know for sure. It all not only confirms the long-held scientific suspicion that Uranus stinks, but also provides insight into how the planets in our solar system were formed. So they now believe that Uranus was formed much further out from the sun and then was pulled in because a lot of the gases that, say, Jupiter and Saturn are formed of were only closer to the sun as the solar system was coming
into formation. Kind of like heavier gases, right?
Exactly. There's a lot of gases there. Most of the gas ended up in the sun in the center. Jupiter and Saturn were far enough away to form from those gases. But the ice giants, Uranus and Neptune, have more... There's more
liquidy.
Solid there. There's more elements that just aren't present close to a star. So Uranus formed further away, and it's mostly hydrogen sulfide, and it smells like farts. And now we have scientific evidence of this. I can't believe that there's a headline.
You know what? Like somewhere, some government scientist is like, this is my greatest contribution to humanity. Uranus smells like shit.
It is the most aptly named planet in history.
You know someone had fun writing that article. You know some NASA goof. Speaking of NASA goofs. This past week, I think I read this headline correct. The guy who now heads NASA is not a scientist. No, does that just blow your mind?
No, he's the one that wants to close NASA, right?
He's some Trump toady or something.
He's already shut down all hopes of going to Mars through NASA.
And yet, wasn't Trump all about, yay, let's go to space
and
privatize it?
One of the very few things about Trump that I've actually been on board with is he really wanted to go to Mars. He wanted to get the space program running again.
And now, okay, we're not going to do that now.
All of a sudden, NASA's like, no, we don't have the money.
You know why? Because we're friends with Kanye West or something. I can't remember. Like, what the hell?
They don't have the money because they want to spend a ridiculous amount of money just being in wars they don't need to be in.
And developing.
Is there, like, some weird military parade next month with the U.S.?
Yeah, mission accomplished or whatever. I don't know.
Who knows? Party on. Okay, so Uranus smelling like farts. What do you got?
I've got the most Canadian crime in the history of Canadian crime. Well, maybe.
Second most?
It's a runner-up for something here. How about a suspect uses Halifax Ferry as a getaway vehicle after a Tim Hortons heist?
What did he steal from Tim Hortons?
I'm going to read it to you right here. So a Halifax Ferry proved to be a very not so great getaway vehicle for a suspected robber. Halifax Regional Police say at 6:45 p.m. Friday, this past Friday, officers were called to the Tim Hortons in Dartmouth. So basically where the Trailer Park Boys are. Police say a man told staff he had a gun and demanded money. After leaving the store, police say the suspect soon boarded a ferry and headed to Halifax. The slowest moving getaway vehicle in the history of getaway vehicles.
Clearly he's played too much Grand Theft Auto.
It's not like it can blend in with a fucking ferry.
Exactly. But at the end, but at the request of police, the ferry turned around and came back to the terminal where the suspect was arrested. Police say no gun was found in the man arrested. There have been no charges as police continue to investigate. All I can think of is he must have been on there, and as it took the 20 minutes to turn, he was like, oh, shit, I guess I'm caught.
I guess I'm not getting out of this.
I'm pretty sure he could have swam
faster than this. See, you know what? The only thing that would make this more Canadian is if he robbed it wearing a toque while wearing a Toronto Maple Leaf jersey, holding the cashier hostage with a hockey stick.
If he robbed them and said, just give me all the Canadian Tire money you have.
Please.
Also.
Sorry. And all the maple glazed.
Yeah. Also, I'd like all of the original old fashions you have, Tim Hortons donuts. Well,
can I get a double-double there, too?
And get something for yourself while you're at it. Thanks.
That's ridiculous.
Hey, sorry about this, but I'm going to need all the money in your register.
But I'm just thinking, you took the ferry?
Of all the getaway vehicles you could possibly find, there's not a truck, not a car, not a bicycle.
You could have taken the bus across the bridge faster than you. he could have got a taxi or an Uber and gotten there faster than.
You know what's weird? And this is not the only weird crime that's happened in Canada. There was one that happened in London a couple of years ago. Do you guys remember when someone stole like $10,000 worth of cheese?
That's some good cheese. It's a lot of really crappy cheese or a little bit of a really good cheese.
It was this artisan cheese shop in London, Ontario. Someone stole 10 grand and they never found the guy.
Well, here's the thing. If it's like $1,000 per ounce of the cheese, you could eat that cheese in one afternoon and then nobody would know. What are they going to do? Like, go through your feces?
I feel like if it's $1,000 an ounce cheese, it probably doesn't even taste that good.
This curd smells very good. Like, it's not happening. Nobody's doing that. What are you getting out? The cheese truffle pig?
Cheese truffle pig.
We need CSI out here. Cheese scene analysis investigation. Fuck, exactly. I can't spell.
Oh my God. So that's what we got for you in this week's weird news. And as we most often do, we're not going to be stealing $1,000 cheeses.
Today.
But we're taking a drop down the devil's grocery aisle as we return in Satan's pantry. We'll be back right after this, right here on Twig, the flagship of stupidity. Welcome back to Satan's Pantry. I'm one of your many unfortunate victims today. And today's victimization comes from the MC Dairy Company, and we are trying... That's in... Okay, it is in English. Alfonso Mango Lassi, which is a fermented dairy beverage, which is an all-natural bacterial culture. Keep refrigerated and shake well before opening. I am shaking the shit out of this thing.
It looks a little bit like...
baby vomit?
You know, what came out of me the first week after I had my stomach surgery.
This looks
bottled up for your enjoyment.
Disclaimer, this is made of mango and Lassi.
Although it's
real Lassi.
It's not nearly...
It looks like a very liquidy mustard.
Okay, so I'm opening this thing, and for those of you that are familiar, some horror movie fans, if you've ever seen the movie Phantasm,
good.
This looks like the stuff that comes out of the tall man.
It's chunky.
It's chunky. I'm gonna smell.
Is it actually chunky?
I'm gonna smell it first.
Mm-mm.
It smells. I can definitely smell the mango.
Lee, do you suddenly want to spit one out?
Yeah, we're gonna.
You're
try.
Not allowed to be a wimp.
Defeats the purpose.
Says the guy afraid of anything remotely frightening.
food
that's
isn't
true.
Frightening
you want the giant
pussy.
You didn't get them cups.
Okay, so
that smells
I
weird.
Will try the first sip of this unfortunate drink.
Whole gulp.
I'm going to put it on my tongue.
Oh, no.
Okay, so.
Why did I come here today?
Smelling, like I said, it smells weird.
It looks like the milk's gone slightly bad. It's like weird. It's like breast milk that's just gone a little yellow.
Actually, kind of good. Tasting it, if you just gulp it back like a straight shot, you really taste the mango. You don't really taste the milk-ish, really. I don't know. It's mango juice.
It's like it looks like strawberry milk, but like it's got pee in it.
It's like yellowy orange.
It's just the most disgusting color.
It's a bad color.
That tastes kind of funny.
The kind of almost coagulated look to the stuff that's sitting around the neck of the bottle is a little unsettling.
You know when you get a big zit on your neck and you squeeze real hard?
Okay, I've had my sip of it, and I actually took a big gulp like Mike did. It's all right. It is not something that I would write home about. It is.
Yeah, but
I will never drink this.
You also like the Band-Aid chips.
Yeah. I like savory. I'm a huge fan of savory. This is just weird mucus.
He liked the fish chips last week.
Okay.
Oh, so those cuttlefish chips were the bomb diggity.
I feel like the flavor is coming at me in three stages. The first stage is all the mango, mm-hmm. and I like that. That's pretty good. The middle stage is just weird. It just tastes off.
Yeah, it's just it's a bit of a weird aftertaste, but it's not terrible.
But there's two aftertastes. The first aftertaste is just odd. I don't like it very much, but it's not the worst thing ever. And then the second aftertaste goes back to mango again.
Yeah, it's weird.
Do we feed the cats?
I don't think you can actually feed a cat mango. I'm actually relatively sure you can't. My wife seems to really like it, so she's hugging the bottle. All right,
now Michael. Bottle it, the whole thing, all at once.
No.
Blair really wants it.
There's another drink.
Yeah, every time I take a sip, it's like, hey, that's pretty. Oh, God. All right, not bad.
It's not that bad.
It is definitely not as bad as the first one we had.
It wouldn't be bad as a drink disgusting. Mix. Actually.
I will get the mint-flavored one and bring it.
You keep saying that,
it's
man.
Hideous.
Ugh, I'm not looking forward to that one.
It's a yolk. It's from the Middle East. It's a yogurt pop. Oh. So it's like, it's the most carbonated, yogurty, pungent smelling thing ever. And the taste is sharp on the tongue. Well, they may also make a version of that that also has mint.
That sounds fucked up and disgusting. So we'll try that eventually on Satan's Pantry. But I guess, what's the verdict here?
I wouldn't buy this, but it's not bad.
If it was served to me, I wouldn't say no.
I think if you're doing a party, like if you had a party where... Where was this from? Did it say the product?
Like Walmart?
No, product. What country?
Walmart.
Walmart is a country, virtually.
Etobicoke, Canada.
Oh, product of Etobicoke. Are you surprised?
That's why it's so weird.
But yeah, so I'm assuming it's probably...
Caribbean, maybe?
Caribbean or Middle Eastern.
Middle Eastern.
So if you wanted to do like something where you had samosas or make like a themed party, I could see that being... something cool to have.
I don't think this would be bad with a little bit of rum in it, actually.
I don't know how it would react to alcohol.
Well,
I really don't.
It's not quite as thick as like a Kahlua.
Yeah.
But it's basically like slightly stronger tasting, instead of strawberry milk, mango milk.
What about coconut alcohol?
Yeah, coconut and mango, maybe.
Maybe,
It's the harshness of the hard liquor that I'm worried about. Is it going to affect the products that are in this? Can this even be mixed with alcohol without coagulating right away?
Like a pineapple drink?
I suppose we'll have to find out here on Satan's Pantry at some point. So that's going to do it for this edition of Satan's Pantry as we close the door on the infernalness. Next week on the show, we try something a little bit spicy, which
straight
I have
from hell.
I have an unfortunate experience with.
I don't know if I can do it.
We'll find out. All right, guys, that'll do it for this edition of Satan's Pantry.
Where are we going?
To the day it all began and ended. The moment that changed everything.
Welcome to McDonald's. Can I take your order?
Yeah, I'd like to get a 10-piece McNugget and a bunch of the Szechuan sauce. Like, as much as you're allowed to give me.
Hey, guys. Mike the Birdman Dodd here with yet another review. And you might be expecting us to review movies, video games, or Blu-rays, or whatever. Well, in the spirit of Satan's Pantry, I'm actually trying something I'm actually expecting to be good. So welcome to Birdman Tries. And in today's edition of Birdman Tries, the inaugural episode, if you will, I'm trying something that has been a bit of a meme. If you've been following the internet over the last few months, you might be familiar with a little show called Rick and Morty, which is The adventures of Rick Sanchez and his grandson Morty as they travel through the multiverse, basically having stupidity happen to them. But season 3 concluded a little while ago, and at the beginning of season 3, last April Fool's Day, there was a joke about Mulan's Szechuan McNugget sauce, which is evidently the entire reason for Rick's being. He really wants that McNugget sauce, and he'll do it if it takes 9 seasons and a movie. Well, McDonald's decided to jump on that and actually release limited editions of Szechuan sauce to, well, the internet's basically, well, they blew it up, you maniacs. But McDonald's promised to make it right, and yet they did, by releasing McDonald's McNugget sauce, Szechuan sauce, to everywhere in the continental United States in huge amounts, something like 20 million packets or something. I remember reading that number somewhere. But anyway, a good friend of mine, Magic Steve, who has been to Con Bravo several times, had contacted me and said, "Hey, Mike, I can get you some sauce. Do you want something?" And yes, I want the meme sauce. And he sent me some meme sauce the other day. He sent me 10 packets of the stuff, which it was $1.50 for the sauce and was $25 in shipping. Thank you to the United States Postal Service for being a bunch of assholes. And funnily enough, before I actually try this stuff got stopped at the border. A border agent opened up my Szechuan sauce, tested it, and then stole one. So I had 8 packets arrive when all was said and done. So my wife has generously went to McDonald's and got me some McNuggets today. And we have just cracked open a Szechuan sauce, and we're going to try it here on the show. Now, preface this, I have had this before, but I haven't done a live reaction, so we're taking a McNugget, we're going to dip it in the sauce, all nice and deep.
Giggity, giggity, giggity.
Get it all nice and coated there. Oh boy. And we're taking a bite. Now, immediately, you get a very soy sauce flavor, very salty, with a slight hint of teriyaki. Immediately, it's not bad. Now, my wife has compared this to V8 Szechuan sauce, which you can get readily from any grocer. Taking another bite. And I gotta say, it's not terrible. It's not the best thing I've ever had in the world. Is it worth driving 3 hours to the border if you're Canadian? No, it's not. But if you're in America, if you can find this stuff easily enough by just going to your local Mickey D's, then yeah, it's really good. But I guess I was expecting something a little more honey garlicky as opposed to more salty soy. But McDonald's Szechuan meme sauce, that's what I'm just going to call this stuff. It's not bad. It's not great. It's something you should probably keep an eye out if you do happen to like McNuggets, if you do happen to like Rick and Morty.
Wow, this sauce is f***ing amazing. You said it was promoting a movie?
And that is our show for this week, ladies and gentlemen. Hopefully you've had a fun time talking with us. Big thanks to Magic Steve for sending me the magical meme sauce of Rick and Morty, because Szechuan sauce, man, it is delicious. So this past week, we've talked about a lot of things, from the most Canadian robbery ever to the Apu Simpsons controversy to Uranus smelling like farts and the wonderfulness of the electric bus. What are we going to be talking about next week? I don't know, but I know we should have some stuff coming up on Mayhem Mikes, as there was the greatest Royal Rumble, which just happened this past week in Jeddah, Saudi Arabia.
Hint, hint, it was better than Mania.
Yes, it really was. I was actually quite surprised.
We finally found out where all the pyro went for the last 3 years.
Also coming up on the show this week, we will have a Future Imperfect with me, Steve Megatron Phillips. We'll also be talking, I'll be on Altered Geek this week. Not quite sure what I'll be talking about just yet. Next week on Twig's show, we will be talking about Avengers Infinity War, because Alex has to see it, Tristan has seen it, I've seen it. Maybe we'll bring in one of the girls to talk about it, because I know Lacey was
This is
bubbling
no
excited.
Girls allowed club. Oh, we can have one.
Just one.
It says no girls.
It's plural. Also, we are still continuing the Cambridge Chronicles, as you can find us on Twitter at Dice Chronicles. You can also follow at This Week in Geek, which is our Twitter, which Alex and I both maintain, more him than me, though. Our Facebook page, you can also find us on there, though there is another This Week in Geek. look for us. It's pretty easy to find us.
We're the cool people.
Exactly. We are the cool ones. What's coming up on your YouTube channel this week, Tristan? Have you decided yet?
I'm looking to expand into some other games, like Overwatch, for example. I know that's a pretty popular one and one I love playing, but I want to start a bit of a series about how to enjoy gaming more. I have a couple episodes already written. I'm going to voice those. I'm going to put those out on the channel. I just hit 69 subscribers today.
Oh, cool. Yeah. Nice.
As of 100 subscribers, I'll be able to finally put my custom URL on there, so look out for that. It will be my name, Mr. Tristopher, but for now, you can just try to find me that way.
Yeah, Alex, as the producer of this show, always links Tristan's YouTube videos in there.
Mostly.
Mostly. So I will make sure he does it.
He doesn't piss me off, because I have the power. I could just send you a random link and it might go to
Pornhub.
I don't know. It might be the Rugrats porn parody. Who knows?
I was looking at porn.
Or the DBZ one.
Pornography. His ass is over 9,000. Which we had the unfortunate pleasure. Which, oh yeah. So trivia for last week. If you were listening to last week's show, that was the clip we put in. That was the sound of Vagin Boo with
Balma, maybe?
Balma or Kirkcott, or I don't know. It was something gross and fucked up. But either way, guys, that's going to do it for us here on the show. For Twig, we have been
Mr. Tristopher.
Alex.
I've been Mike the Birdman Dodson. Live free or die hard. We'll catch you guys again next week right here on ThisWeekInGeek.net. And wherever fine shampoo is sold.
And the shitty thing.
Hey, kids, that's enough of a night, eh?
You know, I don't think this show is suitable for children.
I don't think this show is suitable for anybody.
You've been listening to This Week in Geek. Tune in next week to hear something like this.
Insert a clip here, you dick.
Check out our website at thisweekingeek.net for more geek content. And subscribe to our podcast through iTunes or any podcatcher. If you'd like to comment on this episode, head to this episode post on thisweekingeek.net and comment through Facebook Connect. Or you can call our voicemail line at 817-717-7202. Follow and message us on Twitter at thisweekingeek and check out our Instagram at twig_official_podcast. If you're the good old-fashioned email type, send us an email at feedback@thisweekingeek.net. We'll see you next time, and remember,
lower your shields and surrender your listenership.
We now join America's most popular show already in progress. Everybody loves Hypnotoad.